Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, in the second hour of today's show, I want to get into trying to understand the current situation that we find ourselves in on the brink of another war with people in charge of our countries. And I'm not just talking about Australia. I'm talking, obviously, about the Western powers, the Western bloc, dominated by people in charge who seem to have a strange psychological personality disorder that appears to be some form of narcissism. And I'd like to actually get into the whole question of narcissism in more depth in future shows and really try and understand it, because I actually think it may be the key, it may be the royal road to understanding a lot of what is going on in our world. Because I've thought about a lot about narcissism in terms of how it enables people to be controlled and manipulated by appealing to their egos constantly. And it is also a mechanism for keeping people kind of oppressed, because you keep them constantly distracted with little things that flatter their egos. So it's a tool of oppression. It's also a way of manipulating those who you want to manipulate into positions of power. And to get into some of this today in more depth, I'm going to welcome now to the show my friend and regular guest on Truth News Radio, Damon Crowe. Damon, welcome.
Hey, Harold, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Although, you know, I find I'm in a just kind of a frenzy at the moment of mental, you know, thought to try and unravel the current situation. Of course, I'm very angry. You know, as I think any citizen of this country must be, to see what's going on. I mean, today in the news, I mean, let me just read you a couple of news stories from today. This is now from this afternoon. Bob Carr says the West could act on Syria without the UN. Foreign Affairs Minister Bob Carr has left open the possibility of an international military response to the Syrian crisis without a mandate for the United Nations. Oh great. Thanks, Bob. You know, you're just like such a great guy, aren't you? And earlier today, Kevin Rudd said that I've got that article. I don't actually have it up. Kevin Rudd says he is now confident that the Syrian regime has used chemical weapons. Kevin Rudd himself personally is confident. Doesn't that make you feel reassured that Kevin is confident? Forget about the UN. Forget about the investigation team that was sent over there to investigate. Kevin is confident. what sort of world are we in?
Well, we're in the narcissistic psychopath world, and Bob Carr and Kevin Rudd would both fit those descriptions. But all the leaders all around the world, the common denominator across all the leaders in high positions is the fact that they have all got an out-of-control ego, and quite often the ego has become so malignant they're bordering or are actually full-blown psychopaths.
And yet they're able to present themselves extremely well. They're sort of like Hannibal Lecters, aren't they? I mean, it's like they're perfectly presented, very well-mannered.
Yeah,
but they're eating.
Doesn't mean that you're intellectually impaired. Quite often, these people are very intellectually gifted, or you know, they usually got a lot of intellectual horsepower.
And they're serving you someone's liver they've cooked up for dinner and smiling as you tuck into it.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's sort of a parody in a way.
Well, that's what makes them so dangerous, because they have the fatal combination of all the cunningness and all the intellectual power that you need to manipulate the masses, but lacking any empathy or soul to go with it. So it's really a fatal combination, and that's what makes them so dangerous. And because they're so hopelessly delusional and so lacking in any empathy for the fellow man, their visions and delusions of themselves are at such a state that they could beat a lie detector, which is quite an often a good sign of a psychopath. It's because the normal biorhythms that go on with something like you and I who are lying would be easily detected by the biorhythms of the body, but the psychopath is able to actually lie inherently, nearly at an atomic level, at a molecular level, to themselves, and hence the term they believe their own BS, which is at a fundamental, you know, level, on a molecular level, that is actually what's going on. They can actually deceive themselves. Their ego is actually lying to themselves.
Now, of course, I mean, you're using the term psychopath. I was started off there with narcissism. Of course, these terms have clinical descriptions which are distinct from each other. But of course, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders itself is probably not what we should really be referring to as the Bible here, because as we know, that these medical terminologies are often just another kind of game that is used.
Well, if anybody's dealt with a person who's got a narcissistic personality disorder, will know that someone who's suffering full-blown NPD is, by their very nature, a psychopath. And they are the most dangerous soul-destroying, energy-sucking vipers on the planet. So to me, they go hand in hand. I've met a lot of them in my case at various degrees. And they say there's no cure. I looked at it very heavily for a number of years, having been, unfortunately, had a relationship with a person that was in this area. I didn't even know what the term meant when I first discovered it. But now I see it all around me. It's really like an epidemic of various forms of narcissism. And, of course, at the full-blown scale, by definition, that they are psychotic because they're not of rational mind.
Yes, I've got a few articles here which I was going to share, some of the signs that you might be with a narcissist. One of the things, and I've got an article here from the Huffington Post, one of the things that they do a lot, the people who have this problem, and I think there's a continuum here. It's kind of a blurred continuum between, you know, narcissism and psychopathy. Psychopathy is actually generally regarded as something different to narcissism, but it all depends on how you look at it, and terminologies can change. But one of the key things here with people who have this problem is that they are full of themselves. They can't really take anything in.
No.
And when they talk to you, they talk. They don't listen. You listen, they talk. And basically that's part of what their narcissistic supply is, the gratification of your constant attention. But that's interesting, isn't it? Because someone in this particular state is actually kind of immune to reality, because they're just immersing the world in their own reality. And perhaps, Damon, that is how they're able to lie so effectively, because they just basically don't let much reality in unless they want to. And so their world is like a self-contained world in which they say things like, we're quite confident that the Assad regime used chemical weapons on their own people. We're quite confident. And when they say that, they're actually in this little bubble of their own world.
They've created a little inner Truman Show going on. I mean,
yes,
the way that the New World Order delude and deceive us, they're doing on a micro level, you know. So as that you know, one of the greatest sayings there ever was, I think it's up there with all the great Newton theories and Einstein theories about how the world works, is as above, so below, and so below as above. And what's going inside their mind is a microcosm of what's happening on the global political stage, if you like, or even with your own friends and families in your own environment. That they are in fact doing their own Hollywood delusional mind control of themselves. They are no longer in control of their own body. Their ego, superego, is taking control, and their soul is basically kept in a very small container, just mesmerized by the superego at play. I mean, it would be whilst it's a terrible to be in the and any influence of these people who have got full-blown narcissistic personality disorders, you could really have to pity the person who's actually living that life, because the real victim is themselves.
Absolutely. Now, I've got just a couple of articles here I was going to share. Signs that you might be with a narcissist, or signs that you might be a narcissist. Actually, let me just read this one. These are basically taken from research and generally accepted ideas. I can give you some sources on that. But I think these are very indicative signs. And when I read these out, think about politicians, think about people who are CEOs of a lot of companies, and think about how they behave. Number one, you're a rotten listener. As is what I was saying earlier, narcissists tend to be very one-sided when it comes to discussions. And the one side they focus on, of course, is theirs. All the conversations center on me, me, me. Instead of seeking to understand or respond, narcissists dismiss, negate, ignore, minimize, denigrate, or otherwise render irrelevant other people's concerns. Now of course, that is a kind of like a royal road to self-deception, isn't it? A royal road to promoting lies. And it's something that politicians do almost as a requirement. It's also almost a requirement, if you're in government, to never be able to answer questions directly and to always, as they say, stay on message, which basically means ignore what the person says, say what you wanted to say anyway. Ignore, you know, wherever possible. Point number two, you put other people down to make yourself look better. This is called projecting feelings of insecurity. Now, this is actually really important because when these people have a constant need to feel better about themselves, they actually do have deep insecurities. But the main way they feel better about themselves is by making you look worse. And if you translate that into a system, into a culture, into like the functionings of a company or an organization, you get pretty much what we've got now. You get the good people actually being pushed down, like the good people being the ones that have got integrity, the ones that have conscience, the ones that are modest. They're just going to get put down because the narcissists are going to move in and assert their superiority for their own gratifying of their egos. Your take on that, Damon?
Yeah, exactly. You can go through these traits and see them and in so many people around you. And, you know, the people that are starting to figure out that the world isn't anything like the mainstream media would lead you to believe, or what you were told at school and so forth and so forth, that we are living in literally a Truman Show. The narcissists seem to be leading the very organisations, whether they're political, education. They seem to get into these positions because they have the traits to manipulate other people to further their position. And the good guys basically, you know, finish last.
And they're the ones that are probably more decent ones in any organisation. We're just going to break, talking to Damon Crowe about narcissism and the current global crisis. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
With Truth News Radio. It's great to have your company today. Although, you know, it's not much fun, is it? The sort of stuff we have to engage with, the sort of stuff I feel compelled to talk about on the show is the reason why I do the show. It's basically an emergency situation. We're in a chronic emergency now, and the pattern of the last, say, decade or so or more now has just been chronic warmongering, chronic economic crises, deterioration of quality of life, slipping towards tyranny. And just today, I mean, with the announcements we've had today on this 28th day of August 2013 about the virtual certainty now that there's going to be a military strike on Syria, I believe the clock has ticked another tick closer to midnight. I don't know what midnight is going to bring. I don't know whether it's going to be an apocalypse, you know, or whether it's just going to be like a spiral into like the Dark Ages. I don't know.
I think the Syria thing is very interesting in as much as in the last two or three years, it's really been a slow motion train wreck. And far as I, you know, from my point of view, is that I can see these building up. For an event that would lead us into sort of a World War III type scenario. I think all the indications and all the evidence indicates this is what they're looking for. They've certainly completed World War I and World War II, which was staged, implemented, controlled, managed by them with specific outcomes. They've worked very heavily throughout that period since to further their agenda, and they seem to be working to... prophecy. They seem to be working to specific dates and times that they believe they're extremely important. I mean, it's not a coincidence that they appoint a new pope for arguments on the 13th of the 3rd, 13, you know, and Obama's off to Jerusalem on the 21st of the 3rd, 13, ushering in the new, you know, period and all this sort of stuff. And 2013 seems to be such a, you know, a good year in terms of, I'm talking about them and not myself, because I don't profess to subscribe to all these numbers and astrological alignments and so forth, but I can see that they do and they're infatuated by them, and I can see them building up towards having an Islamic sort of fed war against Israel, and the, you know, the allies thrown in there in a very apocalyptic sort of scenario. And you have a look at all these things occurring over there. I mean, you're talking in the ancient Holy Lands. I mean, Iraq with Mesopotamia and Tigris. The Tigris and Euphrates River were the actual birthing place of modern man and civilization, seemed to be born out of there. And there seems to be all sorts of huge ramifications in terms of religious prophecy. And of course, you now see us, you see that the whole thing basically falling into place to what seems to be a perfect storm. You have a location like Syria, which is perfectly poised to create a domino effect. So you can see that it would be very easy for an altercation in Syria to spill over into Israel, and of course they seem to be ready to strike. And you know that that's a country that seems to be hell bent on doing something apocalyptic, in my opinion. And then of course you've got Russia ready to poise. And God knows all the other sort of major big boys on the block are all ready to have a stink. So you can see there, this could be the modern-day Poland for a start of a World War III. It may not happen. And look, hopefully, let's hope that nothing happens out of it. And quite often these predictions are often wrong, and I'm quite often wrong on any of these things, so I preference that with that. But it does look like it could... pose as one of those things that could easily escalate really quickly.
Well, I have an article here from the New York Times, which was published just today. It says, a strike on Syria would lead to retaliation on Israel, Iran warns. Iranian lawmakers and commanders issued stark warnings to the United States and its allies on Tuesday, saying any military strike on Syria would lead to a retaliatory attack on Israel fanned by the flames of outrage. Now, of course, that would then probably lead a tit-for-tat attack on Iran, especially with this kind of rhetoric coming out of Iran. It's almost like the Iranians are saying, you know, attack us too, isn't it? It's like, well, yeah, because that's the kind of domino effect that will occur. And, you know, before Syria became the total focus of the news, Iran was really in the sights, wasn't it? I mean, all last year we were kind of waiting for this strike on Iran.
Yeah.
But, you know, they couldn't quite get it together. That there wasn't enough instability in Iran. That's one thing. Iran's a pretty stable country. Despite many, many attempts to foment unrest there, it's never really taken hold. So the focus shifted to Syria, and now, again, it's just enough pressure. Finally there, finally the chemical attack, just what we needed. And so now we can provoke Iran.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. There's an enormous reaction. The reaction is fueled and inflamed by their control of the mainstream media, and they'll come in with the solution, which will be the same sort of solution they've had for Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and all the other ones. It'll be warmongering. But I seem to think that this seems to have all the necessary ingredients for a big bang. You know what I mean? Like it seems like everything's poised. They've whipped up the Islamic world into a complete frenzy. Israel is ready and willing to participate in whatever sort of fight needs to be going on there. Of course, Iran's not too far out of the equation. It wouldn't take much to get Russia into the picture. And you can really see this looks like poised to being exactly what they want it to be. It seems to be very predictable. It looks like a B-grade movie script to me.
Very B-grade, very B-grade. I mean, we've seen it so many times before. I think we need to have Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie should be cast as some sort of diplomat trying to avert the crisis, diplomat / secret agent trying to avert the crisis. Let me just move on to point three of this list of the signs of narcissism. It's quite interesting. Point number three, you think the rules don't apply to you. Narcissists tend to believe that because they're so special, they're above the rules and conventions that apply to regular folks. Let's just go back to that article about Bob Carr, where Bob Carr says, we don't actually need a mandate from the UN. No, it's pure narcissism, isn't it? It's like textbook narcissism. Actually, you know what? We're a bit above all that, you know. That's just for the more lowly types, the ordinary countries. We're one of the special countries. We can just decide. This thing about
they have this god persona where they literally perceive themselves as being gods, and they need and require to be worshipped by all.
They do. The rules don't apply to them. Although they...
What would rules apply to the gods? The gods make the rules, right?
Yeah.
Of course the rules don't apply to them. They make the rules. Why would the rules apply to them? The rules apply to the other mortals on the planet, you know, the Goy. They don't apply to them.
And of course, they make the rules and they apply them as they wish. And sometimes they make them up as they go along. But
if they don't get their way, then you'll really see some fireworks, by the way. You ever deal with a narcissist?
That
guy that used to do IT work for me and didn't get what he wants, so they decided to just take the law into their own hands and just hack into your network to bring your entire network and your business down. You know, that's what they do.
And of course, another point here, and this is point four in the list, is that narcissists cannot handle criticism. They basically they react to it extremely hostilely, extremely negatively.
The ego is on super defense, right? So if you try to pop that delusional bubble, the firewall, if you like, to the biological program that's running on your biological computer is safeguarding anything that might be a threat. And, of course, anything that's going to pop that bubble is considered a serious threat.
Yeah, and I think that's why the war on whistleblowers, again, explains something about the war on whistleblowers, because what do whistleblowers do? They're pointing out failures. They're pointing out things where the people in charge either aren't as good as they say or aren't as competent as they think they are. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Do stay with us.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. I'm talking to Damon Crowe about the situation with war on the cards with Syria, looking at our leadership here in Australia, and also relating that back to a kind of a psychological analysis of what's going on in these people's heads, the people who are our purported leaders. Although I think that's a furphy. I think they're really, really nothing more than puppets. They don't lead. I think they're manipulated. I think there are people behind the scenes who are controlling things, people that we really never see. And, of course, we throw words like Illuminati around because we don't know who they are. I mean, it's like you're trying to – it's like in astronomy, you know, when you know that there's a body that must be a huge mass because it's affecting the orbit of a star. And you think, well, we know there's something that's there. We call that dark matter. To me, like in planetary affairs on Earth, there's something a bit like dark matter. What do you think of that idea, Damon? It's like that we know that there's controllers that they exist, but it's really hard to identify them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this world is far more mysterious than we can quite handle at this stage. But clearly the people in power are not working for us. They're working for forces behind the scenes, and they're a hidden force. So it's very difficult to identify them from our point of view or our standpoint because we've only been fed mainstream media. And yes, we can do some detective work through the internet, but it's extremely difficult to find who these forces are that control these narcissistic leaders that are in control. But they seem to need people like you and I won't get a job there because we won't be able to be under their control. It's like when you go to see one of these hypnotists, they quickly can identify people in the room that would be easily hypnotized and easily be able to be under control. In fact, there was an interesting doc, I think I remember telling you about it, about Stephen Fry had this hypnotist on board and within a week he got a guy to commit murder within
a week. I've seen it. Yeah, that's an incredible show, that one. What's his name? I forget the name of the guy, the hypnotist. He's very popular. I know he's got a television show.
Very good, yeah. What that narcissism or that ego does, to me, to them, people who have narcissistic tendency is like putty in their hands. These people are very easy for those powers to control them. Now, whether they control them through like a dark force that's not actually physically present on this planet, who the hell knows? We can only surmise about all the different permutation combinations of what those possibilities might be. But clearly they are being controlled by other forces other than ourselves. And there seems to be the prerequisite, seems to be these malignant egos. That seems to be the common denominator throughout all these people.
Yeah, and the malignant ego enables it. It also may be... It also maybe drives the people who create the systems that exploit it. It may be one of those things that both the jailer and the prisoner are both, they both have the same disorder. Neither of them are really free. If you think about the scenario of a jailer and a prisoner, the jailer is not really free, but the jailer has a sense of power over the prisoner. But there is some sort of mechanism there, and there are various forms of oppression or imprisonment, but the narcissistic honey trap is probably the one that is the most dangerous these days. And you know, one of these days I want to do a whole show. Actually, I've started on this trend recently. I did a show with Josh where we were talking about Facebook and modern technologies and where they've gone wrong. But I actually would like to do a show where we just explore Facebook and narcissism, because I believe that the success of Facebook is almost 100% based on the fact that it exploits people's inner narcissism. Why do people go onto Facebook? They go onto Facebook to say something about themselves and get everyone saying like, or you know, to basically get that narcissistic supply of look at me, right? Now, it's quite ingenious, isn't it? And that is actually why Facebook, I believe, has become so incredibly successful all around the planet, in almost every country, because it actually appeals to this universal tendency in human beings that's possibly a pathological tendency, And it accentuates it, it exaggerates it. I know you're not a really a Facebook person, Damon, are you?
I don't have a Facebook account at all. I don't have a Twitter. I mean, I run a high-tech company, but I don't participate in Facebook and Twitter. It's not that I think that those things are a bad one. Any stretch of the imagination, they can. It's really just a tool, so it's really up to the person whether they use it for good or bad. I just don't have enough time to do it, and I see enough negative aspects of them as it's a bit of a deterrent in that people seem to spend a lot of their time creating false virtual impressions of themselves. And I see people going out, and rather than using their own personalities as entertainment and cracking jokes and entertaining themselves, they're at a lovely location, and they're actually using Facebook and Twitter and telling people about what a great time they're having at that location, but they're not actually engaging with the people. They've actually transitioned out of reality into a fictitious world, and I think that's really sad. They're actually not really connected to the real world at all, and their impression of themselves is a false impression. It's an illusion of themselves that they're fueling continuously by having photos and happy snaps and all these things that give the impression of who they think that they are, but it's not really who they are.
Yeah, they're not really having that life. They're just creating a narrative, yeah. Which then they can say, that's me.
Exactly.
But another thing I've found with Facebook is that the aspects of it which accentuate the self-absorbed behavior tend to override the aspects that actually are the positive ones. I try to use Facebook for the positive aspects of community and information. And, of course, Facebook can be used in that way, but it continually kind of gets undermined. That's what I found. And that's partly the way that the system is structured. It's very hard to build a community with Facebook because everyone's in their own little world. Like when you're on your Facebook feed, when you're sitting there on your news feed, right, you're only getting stuff that's fed to you by the algorithm of Facebook. There might be all kinds of messages and things being sent that you never get because based on the algorithm of your social interactions, Facebook will only give you what it thinks you need to see. And again, they're really only interested in exploiting you in a totally isolated way. They're not interested in facilitating communities. If you use,
they seem to be giving us an environment that's very conducive to create narcissism. That's
indeed
what I see.
Yeah,
it seems
yeah.
like if they're continually giving you technology and other instruments that seem to further enhance delusional views of yourself and further fuel your ego with no constraint of being grounded to Mother Earth. And so everything seems the stupidity and the dumbing down of the masses is such a staggering level. Sometimes yeah. it really becomes debilitating in that you can see these people with in a lot of cases, far more intellect, I must say, than I think that I have, but are unable to understand basic issues. They just can't. I mean, people can't even understand 9/11. And I just, it's like that is a litmus test of stupidity. I mean, these people are healthy, intelligent people
yeah.
that just cannot figure out simple problems. I mean, they pathologically believe these narcissistic people that are in control of us are actually doing things in our interest. And in fact, you've got a guy like, say, Tony Abbott, who seems by all accounts to be a really nice person. I'm sure there's other parts of him that aren't, but he's got, you know, two or three lovely, beautiful daughters, a lovely wife, doesn't seem to be a very good debater, doesn't seem to have a really out of control ego, like, let's say, Kevin Rudd or even Julia Gillard. Yet everybody, apparently, according to all the polls, are infatuated with Kevin Rudd on the popularity stakes. Now, people just can't seem to be able to tell the difference between a complete dick and someone who's genuine. And I think that I see that in real life. The people I encounter on a daily basis seem to be these incredibly smart, dumb people.
Dumb, you know, smart people.
Well, on one
dumb.
Hand, they're intellectually capable, but on the other hand, they display levels of stupidity that are just dumbfounding.
In regards to Tony Abbott, I basically see him as another member of the same class. He's never been in government. He still looks pretty good on some levels, I agree. but I have no expectation that he would be any better. I think he can only be in that position he's in now if he will be a player according to the rules of the game. That's my understanding of it. We're going to break.
I'm sure if he doesn't play...
We're just going to break, so we'll be right back. With Truth News Radio. Well, as we were saying there in the last section, you know, these people who are at the top or high up in the political system, I believe they only get there by virtue of the fact that that they have some kind of quirk in their personality. I think it's not always evident. To me, it's not even actually that important. I only look at what they say. And what they do. I mean, I could tell with Obama before he was elected that what he was going to do, I could tell he was a fake because of the actual language he used. Now, looking at Tony Abbott, I'd agree with, on some levels, Damon, I agree with you that Tony Abbott looks a little bit better.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Tony Abbott is going to save us or he's... you know, going to be a great guy or any of those sort of things. I think you're going to get screwed whichever government comes in. It just seems as though that he, out of all of them, he seems to have a lesser of an out of control, you know, ego. But I mean, he could be one of the most sinister guys out there. I mean, he hasn't shown anything I can see today, but you won't know until he's in.
Kevin Rudd looked incredibly.
He doesn't seem as a savior by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, but when Kevin Rudd was in the opposition. I don't even know if he was a shadow minister. He might have been, but this is like around about 2004, 2005. He appeared to be an incredibly sane, incredibly rational guy. And I remember I watched Kevin Rudd and thinking, gee, you know, he could easily be the next prime minister. And this was before there was any talk of that, right? But Kevin Rudd, and nobody really knew much about him at that point, but we knew that he spoke Chinese and a couple of things like that. And I actually remember thinking, well, maybe this guy is actually the real deal. I remember thinking that. And, you know, later on it came out that he has these tantrums and he's just like a megomaniac. You know, he just has to control everything. And he lives in this fantasy world, you know. I mean, of course...
Yeah, you're only going to see them when they go through adversity or don't get their own way. That's when you really get to see the colour of their eyes.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, you know, Kevin was the one who got carried away with the climate change thing and turned it into the major platform of the Labor Party.
This is the thing that I saw. Yeah. Tony Abbott seemed to realise that was, you know, absolute BS. And that's where I got – and I've met him personally halfway down to Canberra and I got two very large, slobbery St. Bernard dogs at a truck station. There was hardly anybody around. I'm talking about three or four people in some car park. And Tony came straight up to me. Ozzy slobbered all over him, and he sat and spoke to me for 10 or 15 minutes, and he looked me in the eye, and he just seemed like a really genuine sort of guy, and I met his PA, and she seemed to be lovely, and so I'm only picking this up from very small little snippets here and there. I really don't know the guy, you know. I could be horribly wrong, but I haven't got any information that you know, like he's supporting the carbon tax, which is complete and absolute abhorrent lie that indicates to me that this guy is a complete puppet. Like he doesn't seem, and the media seem to bash the crap out of him on a regular basis, which to me indicates that if the media isn't on your side, then that's probably a positive thing.
Yeah, although I can pretty well guarantee you that he will be equally as hawkish on the subject of military interventions, if not more so, although it would be hard to get more hawkish than Rudd and Carr as they are today. He's also quite hawkish as well, of course, on the subject of refugees. And he's already offended the government of Indonesia by this boat buyback scheme, which actually, I was reading about this today, you know, the Liberal policy on asylum seekers will include this... this kind of patrolling of the waters in Indonesia, and Australia plan. Tony Abbott, if he gets in, plans to send covert agents over to Indonesia to patrol around, like in villages, to actually you know, embed themselves to try and find these smugglers, and to actually kind of infiltrate them. I mean, and it's, the Indonesians actually have said this is an invasion of their sovereignty. They're really very unhappy about it, right?
Yeah, look, I'm sure in a 12-month time we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff that's been screwed up by these guys, and you know, we're never going to be saved by either arm of the political process. You know, the left and right wing are the same bird.
Wings of the same bird. Let's just return to this question about Syria now, because I just want to I want to canvas one thought. It looks to me, if this strike goes ahead, and it's going to go ahead, Russia has to respond. Now, my thoughts on this are I'm a bit confused, because I'll tell you why. If Russia does respond vigorously, robustly, I think that will then push this into a worse situation. I mean, obviously, it'll become a kind of a World War III type situation, maybe a cold World War III, but it'll still be, it'll be bad, okay? But, you know, what if Russia does nothing? You know, I tell you what, that scares me almost more. If Russia doesn't do anything, if Russia sits back and lets them get away with this, and I don't know which I prefer. I mean, which one of those scenarios do you prefer?
Well, you've got to remember we're watching the equivalent of World Championship Wrestling, right? This is a Don King fight. So, yeah. You know, at one level, Russia and America are just like two boxers going at each other. But at another level, Don King actually owns both of them. So, you know, it's like after World War II when you've got Truman and Churchill and Stalin all sitting around. Well, they're all, you know, high-level Freemasons and essentially on the same side. So at certain levels, that all these guys, you know, we all know the Cold War was a fabrication, an illusion. There is true conflict at certain levels. There are plenty of people inside Russia and America that are truly opposed to each other and are warring, but at much higher levels within inside the pyramid structure of the world, they're both on the same side. So this is just nothing more than a World Championship Wrestling, you know, it's theatrics, you know.
Yeah.
Of course they want to stink. They want to see these guys smash the crap out of each other. That's what they want. That's what they're, you know, that they're bloodthirsty. These guys are completely psychotic. They want blood. I'm quite actually convinced they're going to want to let off a bomb. I believe they're going to want an Armageddon situation. You have a look at all the programming that comes through Hollywood. They don't produce those Hollywood movies, which is their instrument. Their instrument of mind control and programming. They don't release hundreds of millions of dollars per movie to install the program of there is going to be an Armageddon moment if they're not in planning to go and do that. They have been continually programming the last 10 years. If you watch the last dozen movies that have come out, they're all in 50 years time, 100 years time, 150 years from time, it's all an Armageddon based situation. Hunger Games, that new one with Matt Damon in it, I've forgotten that, there's a Ulysses or whatever the hell it's called, and all these sort of futuristic movies, have a look at them and tell me that you want to go to the future that they're painting for us through their instrument, Hollywood, at the moment. I mean, they want that Armageddon situation. I mean, it's very clear and evident.
Yeah, and increasingly the themes of these movies are moving towards promoting the idea of voluntary servitude, that is our destiny. Like, for example, in Hunger Games, that seemed to be very much the message of that movie. I haven't seen some of these more recent ones that you're talking about, but the message is that basically your future is so hopeless that the best thing you can do is just sort of try and adjust to it and just invert your morality. But it's interesting. Inverted morality, right, is a theme that has been seen again and again in history when civilizations decline. It was, of course, the theme of the writings of the Marquis de Sade. It was also very much, you know, prominent in the Roman Empire as it declined, is like doing really bad things for fun. It seems to be a symptom of when we are actually in the downward, you know, slope of a civilization, and of course, you know, these projections of death and destruction, and sort of reveling in it, are
that's their mantra. That's what they're after. But people think that, well, why would they want that? Come on, you crazy conspiracy guys! Why would they want to destroy their own system? Because that's what they do. they've always done that. The Egyptian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Venetian Empire, the British Empire. This is what they do. They built and constructed the American Empire to collapse on itself. That's what they do. Their financial empires are built to collapse. That's what they do. Because they believe out of the ashes, the phoenix will rise out of the ashes. 13 is the number that symbolizes this occultic sort of numbering of them. And this is why I think 2013 is the perfect timing. They've sucked all the money out of the globe. All the money has been sucked out of every country, out of the globe. There isn't a country on the globe that has a stack of money. No one knows where any of the gold is. All the money is gone. Even countries that are wealthy like Australia have racked up $300 billion for a small country. That's quite a lot. It's probably the most in history from what I can understand, and everybody's getting in an austerity. Well, that's the perfect precursor to a war, you know. Financial impoverished countries, austerity measures being put in place, and then you create a tinderbox situation it couldn't get a more ideal scenario than Syria. Could you really? I mean, have a look at they've been winding them up into a fever pitch for a decade. It's all ready to explode. And this is all happening, planned. It's really like watching a slow B-grade movie really roll out. It's so predictable.
And, of course, Syria, you know, is ideally positioned there, as you said. It's right on the geographically in between all these forces.
It's right in there.
And of course, Syria is part of the cradle of civilization too, which I think again is interesting. You know, there are so many ancient ruins there. It really is an incredibly rich country historically, like Iraq is as well.
But the history of these places are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And if you go into places like Baalbek and inside Lebanon and have a look at the monuments that they've created there, it just mind-blowing. That 1,200-ton pieces of cut stone. You know, we couldn't even cut the things, let alone move the things.
And I guess on that note, we're just at the end of the show, but, you know, we just need to reflect on history, and I think try not to get too stressed about it, because we've got to live our lives, haven't we? You know, we've got to just try and live our lives.
Just sit back and enjoy the madness.
Yeah, and enjoy the fireworks on CNN. sorry, that's I don't really mean that. Look, Damon, it's been great having you on. I'll catch up with you again soon. Take it easy, mate.
Yeah, cool. Cheers, Aaron.
And that's a show from Truth News Radio. We'll be back next week. I look forward to speaking to you then.